you know, there was all this outcry for months and months. Don't bring, you know, there's no need to bring these claims. You know, the agents were very, very unusually dismissive of any, you know, you really don't, you know, there's no coverage for this. You really don't have a chance for this. You know, there was all this talk, but even to date, with all of the controversy we've had, 2.3% have been paid. That's $296 million that have already been paid. Now, of course, look at the disparity. You know, 82% of the policies have virus exclusions, you know, and only, which means there's 20% that don't. One would expect those would have a better shot at coverage, certainly. But only 2.3% have been paid, but they have been paid. And they've been paid despite the fact that this industry has repeatedly told landlords, landowners, you know, every type of business, restaurants, you know, no way, no how. You know, you got to have a physical alteration of property, and we've got these virus exclusions, and they're both going to annihilate your claim. So again, the stats are very, very interesting, I think, in light of the claims, and it's going to continue, obviously, to evolve. So what coverages do we look at, you know, in the midst of a pandemic? What are we thinking about? We're looking at commercial property. You know, we're looking at, you know, your basic property policy, which covers real and personal property. It includes business income loss coverage. And then there are lots of little extras. You've got extra expense coverage. You know, and I was dealing with one of those this morning. We had a machine that had a mechanical breakdown that was covered. And we're having to ship, you know, at great expense, the things that we print off to another location to have them printed so that we can continue to satisfy our customers, have another printer print them, and then they have to be sent back to it. So all of those transportation costs are extra expenses. They're really, you know, expenses incurred to lessen or mitigate against the business interruption loss. So those are there. Then we've got the civil authority coverage. And in the civil authority coverage, in the first, you know, few days and weeks of the pandemic, were the real focus. You know, there's the Oceana claim, Oceana Grill claim down in New Orleans was the first filed nationwide. That was pretty quickly followed. Mr. Hufthaling filed a similar case involving French Laundry with, you know, of course, very, very famous chef. And so civil authority was the focus of those cases. And that was, to me, that was kind of unusual because in looking at these policies, civil authority requires typically proof of that there has been some type of loss of or damage to property. Again, that depends on there are varieties of ways that damage trigger get phrased, and we'll talk about that. But they all have some kind of damage or loss requirement. And so if you're going to prove that damage or loss, why would you want to limit it to civil authority? Because the civil authority coverage is typically time limited, you know, like 30 days, 15 days, and it has a sublimit, you know, so it's nowhere near the potential recovery that you would have on a basic business interruption claim. So while it's a coverage that's available, it's a smaller ticket coverage. I think many of the businesses, particularly when we look at restaurants, restaurants, you know, they just needed a little bit of help. I mean, some of the government money helped, but, you know, they didn't need a whole lot of help. So I think that's why, at least initially, you saw some of them steer for the civil authority coverage. But in the end, it's a pretty limited coverage, and you got to prove a lot of the same things. The carriers are going to assert virus exclusions against that coverage as well. So why not go for the bigger number to the extent that that's available? Ingress egress coverage, similar. You know, both the civil authority and ingress egress are typically going to involve some situation where you don't necessarily have damage to your property, but there is neighboring property. Sometimes there's an actual physical limitation on how far it can be away, a mile, 5 miles, you know, something that would require it to be adjacent. Ingress egress is usually closer. It's you know, a situation where a building falls down, blocks the ingress or egress to your building, and you know your building has not suffered an actual physical harm, but you know the opportunity to use it has been affected. So the last sort of what I'll call the smaller ticket coverages would be dependent properties coverage, and we just saw and we'll talk about it briefly later. There was an absolutely bizarre case that was brought by a beer distributor, you know, who claimed that they had had dependent property coverage losses because Disneyland had refused to accept their alcohol because Disneyland was closed, and they were subject to orders and that sort of thing. And needless to say, the court did not look very favorably on that claim. It's one of the bigger stretches. And quite frankly, I was like, Disneyland has alcohol? I didn't realize that. I guess maybe I knew the beer garden did at Epcot, but in general, that seemed like kind of an odd concept.